Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free.
It is 9:42. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with our regular check-in with Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy 4th of July weekend, Dr. Silver.
Dean, good morning, and happy 4th to you as well.
Yeah, boy, we've been going through this crazy 90-degree weather, and although we're supposed to see some relief from the super hot temperatures, all I could think of was I can't wait to talk to Dr. Silver to, talk about some of the precautions we should be taking in this crazy hot weather. Certainly, we're not done with it yet for summertime. But is the biggest problem exposure to the sun? Is it more of a heat exhaustion? Is it a dehydration? I know all of those things take place, right?
Dean, sometimes I feel like in another life, medical school would be right up your alley. But yes, it's all three of those things. The first obviously is protection from the sun, because the sun rays can be damaging. And first of all, nobody likes a sunburn. It doesn't feel good. It's painful. And second of all, repeated exposures can lead to skin cancer, which nobody wants. So, it's very important to wear clothing that protects your body. And if it's too hot to wear long sleeve clothing, then, you've got sunscreen, and we can certainly discuss that. But you also mentioned staying cool. And I think people forget, just how hot it can be, not just because of the heat, but the heat index. When there's humidity, the body cannot effectively cool itself by sweating as easily, because the pressure of the water in the air exerts a pressure on the water in your body, and it can't escape. And so it may be hotter than it actually feels, sometimes by over 10 degrees. And then the need to cool the body off, drinking enough water and electrolytes. People often underestimate how many cups of water they need a day, just on a regular day, let alone on a really hot day. And then I would add one last piece of this, and that is medications. There are many medications, both medications for depression that are very commonly used, and cardiac medicines, and there's just a whole variety of medicine that can raise the body's temperature or make it less efficient in terms of cooling, that can lead to heat problems.
Wow, that's one I have never heard. The effect of the heat on your medications, and probably the other way around as well. By taking many of these, you may have some adverse effects, I would think, if you're taking your regular medications and then going out in the super hot weather, the super high humidity, the super sunshine. There could be an effect both ways, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. And so many people are on these medicines that they may not even realize it. And even some of the over-the-counter medicines, just to give you an example, Benadryl, which you might take if you had an allergy or maybe you were stung by a bee, it inhibits sweating. It doesn't allow you to sweat.
Really?
Yes. So, and there are other drugs like that, that are not uncommon that people can take, that reduce the ability to sweat. So it can be problematic.
I mean, there's such a long list of medications. We couldn't possibly go through all of them, but common ones that people take all the time. What about pain medications, just regular over-the-counter pain medications? Are those safe to take in the hot weather?
Yeah, I think, What my recommendation would be is if you're taking any kind of medication, look at the label and see if there's a warning there, or you can certainly Google it, because there's so many. And the best thing to do is to make sure that you have access to air conditioning or shade, and that you don't spend an excessive amount of time outside without getting hydrated or going back in to cool off.
What about things like statins that so many people are on now? Are those generally safe in the hot weather?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because even though statins may be impacted by hot weather or dehydration, which can kind of indirectly affect their activity. But the other thing that I would mention is when you mentioned statins, many people who are on statins are also on other types of common medications like beta blockers, for instance, which can really be a problem in the heat. So it's not just one drug, but sometimes combinations of drugs.
Okay, so check with your physician, check the labels. Probably not a terrible idea to ask a pharmacist, right? They should be able to tell you if...
100%.
Yeah, if there's going to be some effect. You talked about staying hydrated in this weather. Water, obviously, is the number one thing that people should be taking in. Where do you fall? I think we've talked about this before. Water versus sports drinks which have supplemental electrolytes in them. Are you better with the sports drinks, or are you just as fine having some nice water?
Well, it depends on a couple of things. One is if you're exercising heavily. If you're working out to the point of sweating or running to the point of sweating, you want to be replacing a percentage of your fluid intake. Your replenishment should be with an electrolyte drink. So there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a healthy young individual and you go on a couple mile run in the heat, you should have a Gatorade when you finish. But if you have as you get older, certainly some of the common medical diseases that present themselves, like kidney disease, for instance, can impact the way that you absorb these electrolytes, and you have to be very, very careful. So I think it depends on the age group. But for the most part, for most people going about their day and maybe doing a light workout, like going for that post-dinner walk in the late afternoon where it's been so nice at the end of the day, just replacing with water. But people don't, I think, including myself, we don't drink enough water in general. I think that's a fair statement. For women, for instance, for adult women, that's women over the age of 18, it's recommended somewhere in the 9 to 12 cups. And I can't tell you, Dean, the last time I had 10 cups of water.
Yeah.
And for men, it's more. It's, 13 to 16. So, probably all of us could just benefit from going to the sink a few more times a day.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about going to the sink versus going to the plastic bottle of water. I've read so many articles about microplastics in bottled water. You can't see them, you can't feel them, but apparently they're there. Are you better off getting some water out of the sink than going to a plastic bottle of water, which is very convenient? I have to admit, I do it all the time myself, but I'm certainly aware that I've read so many articles about these microplastics in the water. I feel like I should wean myself off.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you don't drink the water and don't breathe the air, you're going to be just fine.
It's as simple as that.
Very simple, but I agree with you, Dean. The microplastics thing really is. It's terrifying. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's distressing to read about the fact that we're now seeing microplastics in our bodies and everywhere in your body. Even in the brains of people who have died, they're finding it. So, in our household, we use metal water bottles and we drink from a filter. We just have it under the sink filter. Nothing fancy. And I think that's a good strategy. Now, do I occasionally have a soda or a bottle of water? Sure. I mean, you can't avoid it. You can't always be having your water bottle with you. But I would advise it. I think it's good practice, and it's easy to walk to the sink. You get a few steps in.
Yeah. Metal versus glass. Was there a reason for that?
Just weight, safety, and portability, but no glasses.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea. On our text line, 312-981-7200, ask the doctor about coconut water over something like Gatorade or a Pedialyte.
Yeah, coconut water has lots of electrolytes. I would mention, again, for those folks that have kidney disease, be careful, it's high in potassium, as many of those electrolyte solutions are, although you can now find packets and drinks in stores and online that are specifically balanced for folks with renal disease, but that's definitely a talk to your doctor type of thing. But for the average person who doesn't have to worry about potassium, that's a great way to rehydrate, and it's pretty much on par with a Gatorade.
Yeah, and very tasty, I've found also. 847 area code asks, is seltzer water good to drink in this hot weather?
Yeah, I mean, seltzer is fine. You know, there are some concerns about drinking too much seltzer water and reducing bone mineralization over time. Hmm. But that doesn't really relate to a hot day. You know, if you're trying to replace fluid and you're sweating, it's perfectly fine. But I just mentioned that in terms of long-term effects, maybe something to think about.
Yeah, I had somebody tell me once to, you know, check the labels because sometimes there are additives in the seltzer waters, in particular, club soda versus seltzer water. Club soda, kind of high in sodium. Seltzer water, zero sodium.
100% correct. Yeah, again, Dean, med school is calling if you ever decided, you know, radio got boring for you.
Yeah.
But yes, there's sodium bicarbonate that creates the club soda, and the sodium dissociates from the bicarbonate, meaning that the two molecules separate in the water, and there's extra sodium there, sure.
630 area code, what about my blood thinners in the hot weather? Should people be concerned going into the hot weather if they're taking blood thinners?
Yeah, you know, the issue is that When you're on blood thinners, and I'm thinking of not necessarily aspirin, but those prescribed blood thinners like Eliquis or Xarelto, I'm not aware of them interacting with heat or becoming unstable. But again, it's that secondary effect where if you get lightheaded from the heat and then fall, it puts you at greater risk. So that would be my thought in terms of those medications.
And we've talked about what you should drink in the hot weather. People are enjoying a nice, cool, you know, drink, enjoying a nice ice cold beer in this hot weather. Alcoholic beverages in the hot weather. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not going to lie, Dean. You know, I, at the end of a long day you're doing work for your wife, let's say, outside, you know, that's something that maybe happens every now and then, and you want to grab a cold beverage from the fridge.
Right.
You know, it tastes great, and it's a great way to relax. Again, the key is moderation, because alcohol makes you pee. It's called a diuretic. That's just, it means it acts on the kidneys to release the urine. And it makes you urinate, and that makes you get dehydrated, and it can lead to significant amounts of urination over time, which can make you dehydrated. So if you're working outside and you're drinking a six-pack, for instance, that can be problematic. You can get lightheaded, and then, you know, the next thing you know, you're falling off the roof. The other issue is that you lose the ability to respond to heating. So you have this thermostat in your brain called the hypothalamus. It's a little tissue structure in the brain that senses temperature, and booze kind of shuts it off or impairs its ability to function. And so you may not know to go inside. You're feeling good. You're having a couple of beers, and then the next thing you know, you're overheated.
We have about 1 minute left, and someone at the 773 area code asks, what kind of sunscreen should I get?
Oh, great question. Sunscreen, just briefly, kind of comes in two flavors. There's the mineral and then the chemical. And I would say it kind of depends on who you are and what you're doing. The mineral is safe. There's no concerns about hormonal disruption, but you have to kind of really smear it on because it kind of comes on thick. And then the issue of sweating, that it can kind of come off with your sweat. You need to reapply it versus the chemical. So the mineral would be like zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, whereas the chemical formulations, and that might say benzone on it, some kind of benzone chemical additive, are good for when you're doing sports and activities because it stays on and it kind of goes on more evenly. But there are concerns about safety for babies, and of course there's some concern about hormonal disruption, although, you know, I can't really say much more than that. That's the research that I've done, but there is that little caveat there.
Higher the SPF, the better, or can you go too high? Does it matter?
30 or better blocks greater than 97% of the dangerous rays, and I usually go with 50, but you know, there's nothing wrong with going higher.
All right, Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. That's where I'll be working once I finish medical school. Always good to talk to you. Have a great Sunday today, Doc. Thank you so much.
And you, Dean. Take care.
Much more when we come back.